Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right. Happy Friday and welcome in Joe, Low and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Clay Travis is going to join us at 6:45. Good friend of the program, Matt Bowen, at 7:30. Seven-year NFL veteran who was in Chicago last night for the trade and the Trubisky pick. Jamal Wilkes at 8:30, tickets to give away, 8:45. We've got new Raiders to welcome into the family, new Niners to welcome into the family, a wild, wild first round to the 2017 NFL Draft. How are we feeling this morning? Dibs, I got to tell you, I think the era of the draft being held in a theater is over.
Oh, it's way over.
I didn't necessarily hear it, but it looked as if this was a smashing success in Philadelphia.
It was
last night.
Unbelievable. The visual was terrific. The Rocky statue in front, splitting up the two networks who were covering it. 70,000 people in the square, an area that I'm sure you know. I've never been to that part of Philadelphia.
You run the steps. It's the art museum, Coach.
But how, I mean, just how big is it compared to the San Francisco Civic Center situation? Is it that size and you've got that many people just piled in? I mean, I'm putting you on the spot geographically right now at 6:02.
No, but it leads into a great question, because we had this discussion a few weeks back. Would you want the draft to come to the Bay Area? It's like, would you go this and that? Now I'm convinced I would go. If I'm not working, I'm going. And my next question, where would you hold it? How about Hippie Hill?
Wow. Oh, there you go. The cloud.
Looks like you get a few people out there.
I think you could. It just was absolutely fantastic. The visual last night, the crowd, 70,000, the booing of Goodell, him urging them on. Just great job by Philadelphia.
Roger Goodell, the ultimate villain. Philadelphia went at him, but he could not be rattled.
He did a phenomenal job. They started booing. He said, come on, Philadelphia, I want more boos. And then they played into it. He understood who he is. He understands he is the villain. He understands he's not loved. And Joe, he played right in it. I think it's the Mount, you know, your Dibs, your little Mount Rushmore, that little draft. I think the only thing's missing, and he's come to Fresno next time.
Okay. Are you talking about Mount Draftmore? Philadelphia would be on Mount Draftmore?
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Very good. It's fantastic. It was a great look. You could hold it inside Jerry's Palace down in Dallas and put 100,000 people in there. There's some venues you could do it, but the outdoor feel was terrific.
I think we start looking into historic outdoor areas to hold this rather than indoor buildings. Last night you did it at the art museum, the famed steps. Side note, how come Balboa didn't announce the Eagles pick? Oh, he's a fictional character. He doesn't exist. He couldn't announce the pick. Oh, Carl Weathers was there. Apollo Creed was there, though, last night.
Awesome.
You have to have Creed there.
Absolutely.
Although, from what I understand, Creed died in one of those movies. Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
It was the Russian.
In case you haven't seen it yet.
It was the Russian. Who did it to him.
Rocky IV, yes. Yeah. Shout out Barry Tompkins.
If he dies, he dies.
Is Rocky IV on the Mount Rockymore?
I'm afraid it's not. Too much just musical montage in that.
Tommy Morrison and Tommy Gunn on the Mount Rocky
one. That's the worst one of all.
It's the worst. It's the absolute worst.
But the first one was unbelievable. Hearts on fire. That's
I'm sorry. We got to get right to the update.
Yeah. Here's Dibs with your update.
That's what I mean.
Well, happy Friday, Lo. It was a fantastic day one of the NFL draft. The Niners pulling off a coup in the first round. They trade back from number 2 to number 3, and they get Solomon Thomas out of Stanford. And he talked about his time at Stanford getting to know John Lynch.
Hey, class. He introduced himself as John Lynch. I was like, what? Like, John Lynch is in our class. And so I kind of try to cling on to him, learn from him. Very mature man, just sport very diligently. It was a really, really cool experience to be across them.
Solomon Thomas, courtesy of conference call. The 49ers also trade back into the first round and take Reuben Foster out of Alabama at number 31. The Raiders select Garyon Conley from Ohio State. He under investigation in Cleveland after he was accused of rape. He has not been charged. He's expected to meet with police on Monday, rounds 2 and 3. get underway this afternoon. More on the draft straight ahead. Story number two is baseball. A's get swept in Anaheim, losing the finale 2-1. Kendall Graveman, six innings off the DL. They play in Houston today, 4:15, our coverage here on 95.7 The Game. The Giants lose to the Dodgers, 5-1 in 10 innings. Christian Arroyo, the only run batted in. Story number three, the Warriors could find out their next opponent tonight. The Jazz looking to knock the Clippers out in six. Also, Washington taking on Atlanta. Boston tries to finish off Chicago. Yesterday saw the Spurs and Toronto advance. The update brought to you by Bank of the West. In a changing world, you need a local bank with global strength. Bank of the West. I'm Dan Dibley on your home for A's baseball today, 4:15 on 95.7 The Game.
Great stuff, Dibs. Speaking of which, the Jazz are a 6-point favorite tonight over the Clippers, which could, as you said, set the stage for the second round. The Warriors will be playing at home either Sunday or Tuesday, depending on how tonight shakes down. Here is how the next hour will shake down on this fine radio program. We're going Raiders for the next 25 minutes, and we want your calls, because that was a very interesting pick at number 24 last night. 888-957-9570. The phone lines are open to you to discuss the pick, the future of the Raiders, what you would like to see happen today. 6:30, we're going to turn it over to the Niners. John Lynch wheeling and dealing last night. And apparently the key to getting to know a draft pick is to attend a class with him.
Yeah.
They were in a class at Stanford together. Who cheated off who there, do you think?
I wonder. Both pretty bright guys. So.
Solomon cheated off of John. Come on.
John hasn't been in school a long time.
Class of 93. Me and John. Come on, buddy.
World's changed a bit since you came out of Fresburg.
You know what, Joe? It's too early in the morning for you to be on me this hard this morning. That's nice, baby.
Fair point. Fair assessment. And then at 6:45, we're going to be joined by Clay Travis. Now, first off, shout out to Dr. Richard Fried for sending us a copy of his book, Wired Child. He listened to that segment we did, I believe, last week or 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Kind of an impromptu segment regarding children and being glued to the screens, and decided to send us his book, Wired Child, which has to do with exactly that. So thank you, Dr. Richard Fried, for sending that over. We appreciate it. Pick number 24. If you're just waking up and you don't know, now you know.
With the 24th pick in the 2017 NFL Draft, the Oakland Raiders select Garyon Conley, defensive back, Ohio State.
Garyon Conley, you know him for two reasons. One, prior to last week, he was widely considered a top 10 pick and the number two overall corner in the NFL draft. Would never have been available for the Raiders at 24 until a couple days before the draft, the report surfaces that he was the individual in Cleveland around April 9th who had sexual assault allegations brought against him. We discussed that at length in the week leading up to the draft. He ends up being the pick. How did it strike you, Dibs? You knew corner was a concern for the team, but did you think it would be this corner?
No. And we talked about it either yesterday or the day before, and you asked me if the Raiders should take him, and I said absolutely 100% no. Without having resolution of this incident that happened some 19 days ago, it's too risky of a pick. I know the young man went through a polygraph with another team, and the Raiders probably had access to the fact that he, quote, passed the lie detector test. But to me, I was absolutely floored when I heard the announcement. I was stunned, Joe.
Low.
I couldn't believe it.
Did it make sense? We knew the position was one of need. Reuben Foster, though, inside linebacker from Alabama, was on the board as well. Interesting decision for Reggie McKenzie, because this was a deep corner class, and the run didn't start till late.
Absolutely. And if you think about this team, if you're going to play the New England Patriots, would you be afraid of the run or more the pass?
Probably Brady in the pass. Just a hunch based on his 25 Super Bowl wins.
Absolutely. You went out and you got a guy because of a silly and because a non-responsible thing that he did. Ignorance, stupid. You don't necessarily excuse it. And if we'll see what happens. It comes out. What doesn't come out in the wash will come out in the rinse. They said, we have a guy that is going to be a top 10 pick, and I got him 15 picks later. So when they're looking at this, and you've said, everyone says they trust Reggie, and we trust the organization. Don't you think that these guys and these men and the security, every single team has a security department that will go out and talk to investigations, that talk to police chiefs, Every team that I've been on, you get to meet that guy. You say if he tells you if something's going on, they have the DA. Trust me, everything that happens to guys in the city, the Raiders already know. If you're in San Diego, they already know because there is guys that are on the staff that are either former law enforcement on every single ball club.
And they're plugged in to current law enforcement.
No question. We had a guy by the name of Dick Lewis in San Diego who's been on law enforcement for over 30 years. So they are plugged on. They let you know before anything even happens or let you know who's been out. They report back to the coach, hey, you better watch this guy. Certain things are happening. So when does this surprise me? No. Because of the fact, I believe that Reggie and this organization did a thorough job of investigating the allegations that were at, and they said, look, we're going to go with our gut.
Kerryon Conley out of Ohio State, 6 feet, 195 pounds. Last year as a Buckeye, allowed just 14 completions when the ball was thrown his way. Process that. Process that. He allowed a grand total of 14 completions for 159 yards when the ball was thrown his way. And if he's cleared of these charges, if he is determined to have not committed any wrongdoings, the Raiders won the first round. Now, we're going to take your calls and get more into this in a bit. We're also going to explain what Papa Locks means, because I got a great story about Greg Papa from last night. We were partying at the draft party. We were having a couple pops, clothing optional. No, I'm just kidding. But it got loose over there. So I'll tell some stories about that throughout the day, as well as what it was like when the pick went down at the Raider draft party. It's Joe, it's Low, it's Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe, Low, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Yes, sir. Happy Friday. It is exceptional to have you in this morning. Alongside the four-time Pro Bowler, Lorenzo Neal, the always dapper and diligent. Actually is the word we're going to go with these days after spotting Melvin the intern in that Dodger hat.
Thank you.
Dan Dibley. I'm Joe Fortenbaugh. This is Mornings with Joe Low and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. We have got an exorbitant amount of information to sift through over the next hour, so buckle up. 30 minutes from now, Matt Bowen, 7-year NFL veteran, now with ESPN, he's going to join us to break down what just happened with the Niners, the Raiders, and he was in Chicago last night for the Trubisky selection, so we'll get his reaction. But we've got about 30 minutes of Raider coverage to get to before Bowen, and at 7:45, we'll transition to the Niners. Now, we want your calls if you want to weigh in on last night. 888-957-9570. I had the pleasure of doing the draft show with Papa and Bonte over at Fox Theater. Raider Nation was exceptional. I'm going to be honest, you put one in the air very early. We could smell it all over the place in the Fox Theater. But it was calm, cool, collected. There was some concern, well, with the team moving to Vegas, how would the fans react? Raider Nation was awesome last night. But when the Conley pick came down, sort of a hush fell over the crowd. And then eventually people made their way for the exits. Not exactly the reaction we were anticipating. So we want to hear from you today. Are the Raiders better than they were? Was the move too risky? Should Reggie have gone in a different direction? 888-957-9570. But before all that, here's Dibs with your update.
And the top story, Joe, a fantastic day one of the NFL draft. The Niners pull off a coup in the first round. They trade back from number 2 to number 3. They get a few picks and also are able to draft Solomon Thomas. Then they move up back into the first round and get Reuben Foster from Alabama, and he's already looking forward to playing with Navarro Bowman.
It'll be great, man. Learn from a good vet, a great vet, man. Just pick his brain and just be able to just come in and just making a big impact. Just working hard, man. Just really showing him what I'm capable of and just showing him my passion about the sport, for real.
The Raiders select Kerryon Conley from Ohio State at number 24, the player under investigation in Cleveland after he was accused of rape. He has not been charged. He expects to meet with police on Monday. More on the draft straight ahead. Story number 2, the Dodgers erupt for 4 in the 10th. They beat the Giants 5-1, splitting that 4-game set. The only run batted in from Christian Arroyo, and Bruce Bochy knows the lineup has to get going.
Except for Christian, who really got a nice clutch hit there. But, you know, the pen's been doing a pretty good job. You know, he scored one run. It's tough to win ball games.
Amen. Amen to that. You need driving some runs. Jeff Samardzija, by the way, looking for his first win of the year tonight against San Diego. Over-under, Joe, on runs for the Giants tonight. I'll put the line at 0.5.
I'll go under. I'll lay the minus 200 on the under there. Good God. Christian Arroyo's looking good, though. He is looking good. He's ever been as good as advertised, Dibs.
The offense is certainly struggling. The A's, by the way, get swept in Anaheim, losing the finale 2-1. Jarrell Cotton goes against Charlie Morton today. The A's taking on Houston. 4:15, your dugout show here on 95.7 The Game. The update brought to you by Bank of the West. In a changing world, you need a local bank with global strength. Bank of the West. I'm Dan Dibley. On your home of the Warriors, we may find out their next opponent tonight. Clippers and Jazz playing Game 6. All your Warriors action right here on 95.7 The Game.
Great stuff, Dibs. Phone calls, 888-957-9570. You're lighting up the line, so we're going to go ahead and put you through. Let's set the stage first, however. Pick number 24. Your Oakland Raiders select Garion Conley, 6 feet, 195 pounds, out of Ohio State University. Last season, he allowed a grand total of 14 receptions to be completed when thrown his way. Process that. Dude played, what, 15 games? Gave up 14 completions. Baller. Low, strictly from a football perspective, Garion Conley, how good is this kid?
Kid can play. Lockdown corner. Shooter. The guy can make things happen. You watch his ability to run, his ability to stop and go, redirect. He's a good corner. He's ball hawk, know how to get out there and read different coverages, knowing where the receivers, he runs routes for him. This is a guy that can step in and have an immediate impact on the game, even on this level, Joe. They got a hell of a player. They got a player that can play right now.
Football production standpoint, he can start. Not fill in, but start.
Sure.
So now there's going to be some adjustments coming as it pertains to David Amerson and Sean Smith. More on that in a bit. But problem with Conley being available at 24 is because about 48 hours prior, word got out that he was being investigated for sexual assault. That's what caused the drop. And if the Raiders don't take him at 24, the case could be made. That drop continues well into the second round, possibly the third. So you've got to feel very comfortable with your research. Phones are open to you, 888-957-9570. Are you comfortable with the pick? There were other corners out there. Are you comfortable with the pick? Reuben Foster was out there. Dibs, how did it strike you?
It struck me as a shock, and I'm not comfortable with the pick. I don't get paid to make the pick. My opinion on the matter doesn't count other than the fact that I have a radio show, but I thought that they would have showed more restraint. Obviously, they did their due diligence, and they feel confident that these charges won't stick. But if this thing drags out at all, if the player's unavailable, who knows what can happen in the legal system. I was just a little bit concerned at the pick, especially considering there are other players in his position who would have been available. More of a safe choice. If the charges get cleared up and he's able to play untethered by any legal haranguing, he's going to be a great player. Everyone who's scouted him says the same thing, that he's a terrific athlete and a great player. So it's just a risky pick, that's all.
Melvin the intern, apparently, is the first one on the lines this morning. Melvin the intern, welcome to the program. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I was. I just wanted to let you guys know that I was at Game 4 as well yesterday, and I'm taking the under on any Giants.
Hang up on this fool. That's enough of Melvin the intern calling in to talk about the Dodgers.
That's a classic case of sophomore jinx there. His Melvin, rookie debut was so good.
Yeah, there we go.
Put an egg in your size 18, exactly.
Beat it, Melvin.
You know, that's on the call screener.
Have a nice weekend. We do like you, but beat it. Egg, shoe, beat it. Back to reality. Luis in Oakland, thank you for calling the program to talk about the Raiders. Please go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, guys? So real quick, so I'm looking at the pick of Conley, and even though it's done, I would rather myself had picked up Peppers. I think he was more of a stud, and we could have used him overall-wise. But since we got Conley, what you guys think about Earl Thomas, Cam Chancellor, right? Big safety, little safety. We moved Sean Smith, so you don't have, you know, too much footwork. Moving back to the safety with him and Carl Joseph being back there, I mean, they already had the coach and Ken Norton, so he kind of would similar know how to work with them together and have Amerson and Conley as our corners. T.J. Carey as our slot corner, you know, as guarding the slot receivers. And, I mean, yeah, what you guys think about that?
Luis, appreciate the phone call. That's a great angle. Lo, I'm coming right to you. Someone's got to make some room here. You've got Amerson, you've got Smith, but now you brought in Garion Conley, who will be a starting cornerback, assuming the legal matter works itself out. So do you move Smith to safety? You got to get something out of that $10 million a year salary. Would safety be the natural move?
Yeah, I think he just woke up because earlier I've said that this morning on the show, I said move him to safety. Sean Smith, move him to safety. He's big. He's physical. He's long. He can play against the run. He can play in the box. You're absolutely right. That's what I think that they're going to do. I think that you can do that now because you have a better lockdown corner, and you still get Sean Smith on the field. He can still cover who? The tight end. So now he can come down in the box and cover the tight end more. So I think that that is a good move for the Raiders moving forward. I think you will see that.
Let's just process this for a moment when we're trying to figure out whether or not Gerrion Conley was the right decision based on what's happened off the field. The Raiders are sitting here at 24. It's not as if this deep cornerback class had been depleted. If anything, the corners fell last night. Marshawn Lattimore, Ohio State, he was supposed to be the top corner in the draft. He was regarded as a top five pick. He fell to what? New Orleans at 11, I think it was? They all got pushed back. So here come the Raiders at 24. Yep. Reuben Foster, inside linebacker, is available. Tre'Davious White, corner out of LSU, is available. Kevin King, corner out of Washington, available. And so is Gerrion Conley. With all those options on the board, with your team headed in the right direction, with everything clicking the way it's supposed to for the Oakland Raiders, why would Reggie and Jack go out there and make this pick if there was any chance whatsoever that Conley was going to be arrested, prosecuted, and either thrown in jail or suspended from the NFL? I can't see them doing it. I see the organization being so close. I see Reggie as having made so many good decisions. And I know the first thing that happens when I say that is people look for the negative. Right, we can look to certain misses on picks or certain misses in signings. Some would say Sean Smith hasn't panned out. But I'll point to Gabe Jackson and Khalil Mack and Derek Carr and Amari Cooper and a lot of good moves. Michael Crabtree, you name it. KO was a hell of a player last year. In Reggie, we trust. He's made a lot of great decisions. So with all that being said, why, when you're so close and there's so much talent available, would you take this risk if you weren't damn near sure he's going to be cleared of these charges?
You wouldn't. You wouldn't make that risk. But these things, these legal situations have ways of playing out in their own way. And there's only so much due diligence you can do when trying to find out whether or not you're going to take this player. It's not like you could go and talk to the victim. It's not like you could go and investigate and examine the rape kit that was given on April 9th when this incident reportedly happened. Basically, you have a chance to talk to the player and ask him what happened. He gives you his version. He reportedly took a lie detector as well. And you have your security staff, Lo. You've mentioned it many times, and you're absolutely right. And they investigate as much as they can about the player and the incident. But ultimately, there is still that sliver of unknown. You don't know what's going to happen, and you really don't know what sort of evidence there is and whether or not charges will be put forward. So as much as, yeah, in Reggie we trust, and I get that, there still is an element of the unknown to this.
Lo, take me through it. When the Raiders say they've done their due diligence, they've done their investigative homework, what does that mean?
Well, the Raiders probably called the league for one. You have a head of security. And matter of fact, I'm going to look through my phone and try to have someone come on that was head of security in San Diego. Doesn't work necessarily for the team, but he's a liaison in that city that works for the NFL that still works with the Chargers. So when I was with the Chargers, and every team that I was on, you have a guy that's from the league that's in the city. And all he does is he works with that organization, those football, but he reports to the league about different players and different things that's going on. So without a doubt, this Raider organization did their due diligence. You can't afford to use a 24th pick in the draft to go and try to get a guy that you think is going to go away for a long time, because if you rape a woman, this is a horrible offense. So I believe that they did their due diligence. I believe that they talked to the league. I believe not just that, they have sat down with the police investigators on this story and having behind the scenes, there's a lot going on. Because Reggie wouldn't jeopardize this organization, the credibility and all those different things that goes on with the, that goes on in the league, because like you alluded to, they're so close. So when you ask the question why, is because they've done their due diligence. Why? Because they looked it on the board and said, here's a top 10 player that we believe that is innocent, that believe is going to be acquitted of these wrong, this horrible, ferocious act. So we're going to look at this and we're going to make a list, and they're going to do it, and they're going to make sure that this guy's not guilty before they pull the trigger on this. So I think that Reggie and his staff and Jack Del Rio and NFL security and everything that goes along with this, they have a pretty good idea and a good handle on this, or they would not have made that decision.
If Gary and Conley is cleared, the Raiders just won the first round. Forget about the Niners. The Raiders just won the first round. They just got a top 10 pick at selection number 24. Kansas City traded from 27 to 10, gave up a first rounder next year and a third rounder this year, plus the first rounder they had, they switched, to come up and get Patrick Mahomes, who's not even going to play this season. The Raiders got a top 10 at 24 without trading up if he's found innocent of all this. That's a big-time move. That's a win in the first round. That's a guy who comes in and starts for you at pick number 24 at a position you desperately needed to upgrade. Jack, in Cordelia, how do you feel about the Raiders' selection last night? Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Good morning. I think the Raiders just pulled a fast one on the entire league. I mean, go back to, I don't know about pre-1999, but you can't name me one player the Raiders have signed since 1999 when Fred Biletnikoff's daughter, you know, her tragedy happened. Ever since that day, Al Davis came out and said the Raiders will never sign a player guilty of domestic violence. And Mark Davis said the same thing when Greg Harding was available. He squashed it publicly. So they would look extremely foolish to have that stance as an organization and make this pick if they didn't know something that we don't. So, I mean, I think when he says they did their due diligence, there's all kinds of things. I mean, there's cameras. There's just, you know, sitting down with a young kid and saying, did you do it? Look me in the eye, and if you say you did it, yeah, we're not going to sign you. If you say you don't do it and then you're found guilty at some point, we're going to cut you and we're going to look really bad for cutting our first-round pick as an organization. So I just think with all of that, I think the Raiders knew what they were doing or they wouldn't have done it.
This is a great call. I really appreciate what you said, because every time you walk in a hotel, especially when the team brings you in, like I told you, they put me in a five-star hotel on my recruiting trips when I was a free agent, got to stay in, you know, the finest hotels. There's cameras in all the hotels, in the elevator. Hell, we had an intern here tear up a camera.
Remember that kid?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Exactly. So because they want to see everything. So they're going to watch this young lady on the way out of that hotel, the room. Did she look distraught? Did she look mangled? All the different things that goes into this investigation. It's no way that these officers are going to just sit here and say, without making sure they're going to do their due diligence. That's why they didn't say, oh, he's just innocent. They're going through a process. But don't tell me they don't have cameras on the elevator. Did he grab her and pull her out of the elevator? Did he grab her and pull her into the room? Because there's cameras in those elevators, in those hallways of the hotel. So I really believe there's more to this. And I think that's why I think the Raiders had to go through their due diligence, or this would have been a foolish move for them to pick this individual.
The Biletnikoff angle is fantastic, because why would you throw that away on some kid who's never played a snap in the National Football League? Like, to have that stance against domestic violence for so long, and then in 2017 you decide, oh, you know what, this kid from Ohio State who's never even played a down in the NFL, we'll go ahead and throw it all down the toilet for him. I don't really see that happening.
And what's that running back, Joe, that you said from Florida that had already a wrapped sleeve and they're trying to destroy him?
Florida State. Are you talking about Dalvin Cook?
Yeah, Dalvin Cook. Now, if it's a guy like that, unfortunately, maybe he would have been innocent. But I don't think the Raiders take that chance on him. The Raiders also talked about, here's this guy that had no black pass, no anything that he did that's shown that this is his type of behavior. So they even did further than that. If this is a Dalvin Cook, I think that you see the Raiders would have passed, because they wouldn't give him the benefit of the doubt. But they looked into this young man's past and said, this guy has been an outstanding citizen, an outstanding role model. So this situation, they're looking at it. Each situation differently, and I think that had a lot of bearing on this decision as well.
Rob in Fremont, thank you for calling the program. What did you think of the Raiders' draft last night?
I think Reggie McKenzie, he's built up enough equity to take this kind of risk, but it comes to, like, it's like a scary world we live in, because this happens so frequently. Like, it's and subconsciously, me being a black man, I have the initial thought that, man, he messed up, or, you know what I mean, people are, you're guilty as charged. And then when you speak of it and you start referring to the victim as a victim instead of an alleged victim, it's a very slippery slope. So I'm just thinking Reggie McKenzie's smart enough to know what he's doing. He's earned this right to make this pick, because we're so close. If we can get a player that can flip the field for us and do all those things, take the ball away, we got to do it.
Great phone call. I really don't see the organization, and specifically Reggie McKenzie, throwing away all the recent success on a coin flip. Like, I can't see them going, you know what, maybe he did, maybe he didn't. let's just go ahead. He's too good. Let's make the pick and we'll deal with it later. I don't see that happening, especially when you had Tre'Davious White and other players out there you could have taken. Reuben Foster was there. And maybe you don't like Reuben Foster, fine. But there were linebackers. There were corners. It's not as if the draft was out of players. You had several dudes who can come in and start
some
for
great
you,
picks.
And
left,
you still right? took this guy. You've got to be feeling pretty good about that. You really do.
Yeah, I just was reading something that Ian Rappaport had put up about the fact that the Raiders did exhaustive research into investigating what happened with Gary and Conley. And so obviously Reggie McKenzie and company felt very confident about the way this is going to get resolved. I just think that the pick itself is risky and maybe too risky. I'm hoping it works out okay for Gary and Conley and everyone involved and for the Raiders, and that he goes on to be a great player.
Stone in Walnut Creek, thank you for calling the show. Your thoughts on the first round for the Raiders last night? Stone.
Wake up, Stone. Wake
stoned.
Up.
Should it be stoned with a D at the end?
He's stoned.
Reggie in Philly, great to hear from you. Reggie, your thoughts on the pick last night?
I like the pick. I don't love the pick. And I got three main reasons. One is what Dibs outlined with it being risky. And listen, I ride with Reggie McKenzie. I ride with him. He's earned that. I ride with him till the ship will go down. But remember, they did their so-called due diligence on Alden Smith, too. And where's he at? He hasn't played another down for him ever since he got suspended. Two, your point, Joe. If the need was a slot corner, you still had a bunch of guys at slot corner you could have gotten in the second round. You had Reuben Foster sitting on a board that could have solidified your defense. I mean, you're worried about his injury history. Remember, they took Carl Joseph last year, and he was coming off of ACL. So I don't think the injury history should have scared him away with a talent that's that good with such a glaring need in your defense. And the third reason why, I just can't get that Michigan tape out of my head, man. Amar Darboe killed Gary and Conley in that game, and he got away with a pass interference that should have been called, that should have cost him the game. I just can't get that tape out of my head. I mean, like I said, I like the pick, I just don't love it.
Reggie, that is tremendous stuff. Anytime you call in with college football analysis, you get bumped to the front of the line on this program. He's right. And one of the knocks on Conley, despite the fact that he only gave up 14 receptions last year, is that he's in the Big Ten. Big Ten isn't exactly loaded with receivers.
This is true.
Do you see Big Ten receivers flying off the board yesterday? No, you saw Western Michigan's Corey Davis, John Ross from Washington, and Mike Williams from Clemson. Oh, by the way, with Phillip Rivers. You needed another corner. Did you see what your competition did yesterday? Then the Chargers added another
receiver.
Weapon. Keenan Allen's coming back healthy next year. Tennessee went out there and got a wide receiver. You play them in week one. Whew. And then you got Andy Reid trading up for Patrick Mahomes. That was great. Oh, that was great. I'll tell you, I know a lot of people are trying to zero in on why they would have passed on Reuben Foster. I think there's something to that. Don't get me wrong. I like what the Niners did yesterday. I think between the trades and the players they picked, they're moving in the right direction, and they're a better organization today than they were yesterday. But there's a reason Reuben Foster fell, and it's not necessarily because of what happened at the combine, right? It's not necessarily because of what happened at the combine. There is something, don't compare him to Rolando McClain, but look at the system in which he plays at Alabama. And this is the same thing that happens with running backs at Alabama. Everyone tries to figure out why Derrick Henry, TJ Yeldon, Trent Richardson, Eddie Lacy, even to an extent Mark Ingram, who was a first round pick, why these guys don't necessarily meet expectations. It's because you're running behind the best offensive line in college football. Of course you're going to look good. Then you get drafted into the NFL. You're not running behind as great an offensive line. The holes aren't 15 feet wide for you to run through. And suddenly, you need to make it rain on talent. And it doesn't show up as much as it did at Alabama. That's why these running backs are always overdrafted. To an extent, you have to have that concern with the linebackers. Reuben Foster on tape is a beast. Sideline to sideline, his speed and his instincts are unquestionable. But remember something. He's playing behind the best defensive line in all of college football. They are eating up blocks. They are causing havoc with offensive lines. He is clean and free to run all over the field. What happens if the 49ers defensive line can't eat up those blocks and the guards and running backs are able to get to the second level and get a body on Reuben Foster? How good is he then? Can he stack and shed? Can he still make plays? Because when you're running free, it's one thing. When you've got bodies on you, it's a completely different story.
You're spot on, but that's why they went out and got Solomon. You're talking about a guy that can play the three technique. You're talking about a guy that's going to grub and hold guys off. When you grub, that means you hold the center and the guard, grub both those guys, and now you let that linebacker go downhill. I played against the Hall of Famer, and you guys know Ray Lewis is probably one of the best linebackers that they say that ever played the game. But with Siragusa and those big guys and Hanada, all those cats, that what they do, they held the offensive lineman and let Ray get downhill. He did not want to take on lead blockers. He did not want to take on those type of deals.
And that, you saying Ray Lewis was soft?
No, I'm just saying.
That's a hot take.
But
get him off mic. He'll tell you. Ray tried to cut him once. They had a chance to go one-on-one for a tackle, and Ray cut his legs out. He didn't want to run head on in the low.
Pretty much. But that's the kind of
big dome.
But that's the kind of guys that the Niners went out and said. They said, we're going to make sure that we can get this guy free so he fits their system. So that's why you want it. You know, Joe, you talked about how Ruben can run. He's a down here guy, sideline to sideline.
Oh, he's fast.
But now if you keep those guys off of him, then you can see him shine. The Raiders looked at it and says, our need is a corner. We know that. We've seen what Sean Smith is. He's a guy, long, tall, doesn't necessarily have the best feet. He can run. So now we can move a guy back to safety. Him and Nelson can move off and on. He can cover a tight end because he's bigger. So I think that the Raiders' need was more of a corner.
Now back to Joe, Low, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Joe, Low, and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. It is great to have you in. If anyone's got some free time tomorrow, come hang out with me in Dublin at the Wallace Ranch Kindred House. I'm going to be there from 11 to 3 with music and prizes, including autographed memorabilia, baseball tickets, movie tickets, and more. Wallace Kindred House is located at 4201 Wallace Ranch Drive in Dublin. For full details, visit the events page at 957thegame.com. Nothing on there about a keg or an open bar.
I'm sure you'll have a flask with you,
yeah.
Like any good radio performer would.
I'm going to roll in with a 30-pack.
A PBR.
Make an early statement. Just set it down and sit on it while pounding it.
Just like Bowen's draft party. A 30-pack of PBR.
I'm surprised it was PBR. Usually you would think he would go with the old style.
Right.
You'd think he'd go with the old style. But PBR, good for him as a 6-round pick, one spot before Tom Brady. All right. We've broken down the Raiders, and we're going to get to more on that in a bit, but it's time to look at what John Lynch and the 49ers did last night, because if you wake up this morning and you're looking for analysis, you will notice that most view the 49ers as the biggest winners of the first round. They traded from 2 to 3 with the Chicago Bears, and in the process, picked up 2 third-rounders and a fourth. Then they smelled blood in the water at the end of the first round, jumped back in by making a trade with Seattle, grabbed Reuben Foster in what amounted to just giving up one of the picks they had acquired from the Bears, and boom, just like that, your defense is better. Solomon Thomas from Stanford up front, Reuben Foster from Alabama right behind him. And now you roll into day two with 9 picks left to party with over the next couple days. Dibs, is it hard to even try to nitpick what the Niners did? Because I've tried to figure out a way to play devil's advocate here, but bottom line, they look like they had a very nice start to the Shanahan-Lynch era.
According to the GM, John Lynch, they got 2 of the top 3 players on their board, and to do so without having 2 of the first 3 picks in the draft, that's truly impressive. You get a guy you love at number 3, Solomon Thomas, and you're able to get Reuben Foster at 31. That's a complete masterstroke. They could see that Reuben Foster was starting to slide. Heck, all of Alabama was on the slide. Nick Saban in real trouble in Alabama here now with the performance of his picks last night.
Well, that leads me right into that take. Because if I'm recruiting against Nick Saban, I'm going to every one of those players, and I'm saying, you aren't going to do as well as everyone thinks you are. Every single Alabama player slid last night, according to projections. O.J. Howard, top Titan tight end, where did he go? Slid all the way to Tampa Bay. Reuben Foster slid to the end of the first round. Cam Robinson, offensive tackle, slid out of the first round. Jonathan Allen, top 5 picks, slid down to like 16. If you're recruiting against Nick Saban, you go show recruits, hey, he's going to tell you he can get you to number 1, number 2, number 3. You're going to slide. That's the way to play Nick Saban moving forward.
And moving forward, like you just alluded to, it goes to show you when you're that good, and you're that dominant of an organization or a college organization, it hurts you. Because you think about the kids that's coming out of Alabama, what has happened? They've always getting a knock now because they get in the league and they don't perform as well. So what happens? Now they can say, look, you can go there and win a title, but if you want to really win and win in the draft further, you better think about going to a school that you're not necessarily, that you're the really superstar and they can see your talent, because in Alabama, there's too many great players and not a lot of guys get go draft.
That, and Saban runs his guys into the ground. These Alabama guys, when they come into the NFL, they are worn down and banged up. You're getting damaged goods with a lot of these dudes. But, Dibs, we took you right off your tangent there.
No,
sorry about that.
There was no tangent. I mean, you talk about nitpicking the 49ers, and it's difficult to do when they say they got two of the top three players on their draft board, and you move up to 31, and you pick up additional picks. It's an unbelievable night. And you look at the players they got, Solomon Thomas, a local kid who's going to make a big impact. Reuben Foster, I know there's some question about his shoulder, whether or not he'll need additional surgery, but all the scouts rave about his ability to go sideline to sideline, and Niner fans would love a chance to see another great, epic Hall of Fame caliber linebacker.
When everything shakes down and you analyze the movements up and back of the Niners, the picks they acquired and the players they acquired, this is what it boils down to. They moved up a grand total of two spots because they slid back one for Solomon Thomas, but up three for Reuben Foster. So they were plus two in movement. They acquired number 67 overall, which is a third rounder, and they picked up a third round pick in 2018 to go along with Solomon Thomas and Reuben Foster. Here's John Lynch on the two players the Niners picked up last night.
Extremely productive day. I can tell you right off the bat that we had a board, as you guys heard the other day, with just under 200 players. And in terms of how we rated them, we got two of our top three players.
Two of their top three players, and they also came away with more picks. They got nine more picks in this draft. Now, none in the second round, but they've got two back-to-back in the third, 66 and 67. But they've got nine more picks in this draft, and they picked up an additional one for next year already. Looking pretty good. Where do you see them going moving forward? They address linebacker. They address defensive line. What would be next?
I think also you got to look and see, is there another big man? Because when you look at what they did going after the guys that they did, Solomon's a big guy, but Solomon, you know, you can let him play the three, but you still want another guy some more meat because he can win some one-on-one matchups. See, Solomon, yeah, you can let him play the double team. He can handle double team. He can do a lot of that. But I want to move this guy around up and down that offensive line, up and down that defensive line, because he can beat and he can get a mismatch for you. So look for them to get another guy beefy, because when you think about Buckner, who they got last year from Oregon, he's a big, strong guy, too. So now you got two guys in that middle. Go get to another guy. So you're looking to continue to build. So I can see this team still looking at more defensive guys, continue to strengthen that defensive line. And also, you can look at this team and look at some secondary as well.
All right, we've got Deshaun Watson, quarterback off the board. We've got Mitchell Trubisky, quarterback off the board. We've got Patrick Mahomes, quarterback off the board. Dibs, what's the likelihood that quarterback will be a target for the Niners sometime in the next couple days based on what's left in terms of their picks and from the supply pool?
I don't think that it's going to be a priority for them. You mentioned that they're going to select 66 and 67. You would bet that Deshaun Kizer and Davis Webb are both gone by then. So now you're getting into middling quarterback prospects. And right now, the situation you have with the 49ers, you've already got two pretty mediocre guys. You don't want to throw a third mediocre quarterback to the mix. I think the better strategy would be to take somebody very late, sixth or seventh round, somebody who maybe you can hope to develop. It didn't work out with Jeff Driskel last year. You hope the new regime with Shanahan there, much better job of teaching and coaching up quarterbacks, but I would not expect them to take those two third-round picks and try to move into the second round to take one of those two guys I mentioned.
Do you see them getting active, trying to get back up into the second round?
Yeah, I think that they could possibly, Joe, look at that secondary and go ahead and trade those two picks and look at the secondary. And here's the thing. You have two backup quarterbacks on the team. So I wouldn't say if you can't make that trade, if you can't get back get in the second round for a bona fide player do you think can impact your team right away as a starter, I look at that third and fourth round, Joe. Yeah, if it's getting a quarterback for this reason. You already got two backup quarterbacks that are in the latter part of their career. That one of them's going to be off the roster next year, even if you decide to go get the kid from USC who's probably going to be the number one quarterback. So now you can go and say, I have a young guy. I'm going to keep one of my backups, because you usually keep both teams keep three quarterbacks. One of these two veterans next year won't be on the team. So go ahead and draft a young guy and let him start the process of learning behind one of these veterans that's going to start, that's going to hold it down. And then that following year, next year, when you draft that franchise guy, you still have now your two or three is still a young guy. So it gives you a little bit more leverage. So look for the 49ers to get active in that fourth round, third or fourth round, to find a quarterback as a project. But look now, today in that third round, to get another defensive player as well.
Explain to me how they utilize Reuben Foster. If the rumor is true that the team wants to move from a 3-4 base to a 4-3 base and Navarro Bowman comes back, how do you get Bowman and Foster on the field at the same time?
Flag on the field. Seeing that dips. But anyway,
take a breath. Just take a breath. Everyone's getting all worked up.
I knew Dibs was going to get
now we're in third and long, Low. Thanks.
Okay. But I got to play for it. I got to play for third and long.
Make a play.
Fullback dive. That'll pick up one. Punt team.
Joe, go to hell, Joe. No, you got one of these backers going to play the mic, and the other one's going to play the will. There's going to be one guy in the middle, both these two guys in the middle. Will is the weak side. Of course, the mic is the strong side, which he travels with the tight end. That's the strong side. So now what you got now, you got to have a big guy in the middle. That's why you went out and you said, I'm going to have Solly there that's going to make sure that he keeps coming the pressure off. And then you got Buckner, another guy that's a big guy. So what you do, Joe, even in a 3-4, because you got
4-3, you mean?
Okay, in a 4-3. But even if you make that 4-3, sometimes you take out a D-line, or if in a 4-3, you slide one of the D-linemen down. So now you have a guy over the nose guard, and you got to have a guy over the guard. So now your linebacker is still free to run. So you can still put both these backers on the field, Mike and Will, and still have these guys be able to run through the ball by having that 4-3, because you want four down linemen and three backers, so you still can keep those guys clean. And Reuben Foster, we know one thing, that he can run. Navarro Bowman can run. So now you protect those guys by keeping those guys up front in the trenches, keeping those big men off those backers.
So of the three linebackers, can you go across the board with Foster, Bowman, and Aaron Lynch? Can you put the three of them on the field at the same time?
Yeah, you can.
And I think would Bowman be the one in the middle?
Yeah, Bowman will be the one. Bowman will be the one in the middle. But you still have, when you're using a four down lineman, one of the down linemen, Joe, will play more of the wide nine in that circumstance, and you'll still have the Sam to the wide side of the field where the tight end is. So you still have an edge rusher, and now the four down lineman is on that tackle playing outside shade. So you'll still have, now you could have Reuben still playing the weak side backer or whichever one you want, so they still can be on the field at the same time. So one of the guys has to be that pass rusher, and the other two guys are going to be the guys that are in there to stop the run.
Robert in San Jose, you've been holding for quite some time. You want to talk about the Raiders and their pick? The floor is yours. Go ahead.
Thanks for taking my call. I love the pick. The story that came out about Connolly sounded a little fishy when it was first reported, so I had some apprehension.
We got to cut it. There's too much noise going on in the background. I'm not sure. Does anyone know what that is?
That's just about a bad cell connection, Joe, is what that is.
All right. Well, Robert, if you can clear up the cell connection, we'd be happy to bring you back onto the program. Good God, it was piercing.
Yeah, that was bad.
I want to hear what he has to say, but it's piercing.
He was basically saying that the details of the incident as they come out look fishy, and therefore he thinks it's a solid pick because he doesn't think the Chargers are going to hold up.
I didn't hear that. I heard.
I fought through it, Joe. 20 years in the business.
Yeah,
I got tough ears.
And too, Joe, when we get a chance in here, maybe we can get a little whiteboard and then make a Facebook Live and show what I mean about draw up the 4-3 and show where these two backers and how they'll look, and we can get that dialed up.
Sure, there's a whiteboard down the hall that you could go grab and then bring it in here, and I'm sure there's a camera you could set up, and then you could hit play and start filming it, and then you could upload it.
Yeah, that's
I'd be happy to watch that.
Yeah, I would do that.
The insinuation is, someone go get me a whiteboard, get me a phone, and someone set this up.
Where's Melvin?
Where is Melvin?
I think I wasn't trying to make anyone go get it.
I know. We can absolutely put something like that together. There's a whiteboard over by the office. We can get that. You can put that up and you can do something like that. It'd be a great video.
Yeah, later.
Facebook Live, you feeling like it?
Absolutely.
It is Friday. I know how No Neil loves his Fridays. Can we get you on the board?
Absolutely. We don't have to. I'm just saying later on.
It doesn't have to be today. Yeah.
On some Tuesday or a Wednesday, maybe.
That's all. I was just saying later.
Yeah.
I was just food for thought, guys.
Certainly not
I
Friday.
Wasn't trying to think
of I'm with you. That's a great idea, Coach.
How about this? Cancel the show Monday and then come in around 9. Maybe do it from 9 to 9:01, and then, we could be done. Huh. We're back in a minute. Joe Lowe and Dibs, time to break down the Raiders. Light them up, 888-957-9570. You comfortable with the direction the franchise is going with Gary and Connolly stepping in? Kid can play, but there are some concerns. Back in a flash, Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Tickets to give away. You will call 888-957-9570, and if you get the answer to this question right, and you are first, you will win two tickets to see Dierks Bentley with Cole Swindell and John Party on Sunday, August 20th at Shoreline Amphitheater. Tickets on sale now at LiveNation.com. That's LiveNation.com. Here is the trivia question. Again, the number, 888-957-9570. Who was the last undrafted player to win the Super Bowl MVP award? 888-957-9570. Who was the last undrafted player to win the Super Bowl MVP award? I believe we have quite the poll question today. So without further ado, let's the debate begin. Today's Take Your Pick poll question brought to you by FH Daily and Novato Chevrolet. Anna, good morning.
Good morning, fellas. I'm sorry. I'm going to apologize ahead of time, everyone, for bringing up a name. Today's question: who is the biggest draft bust of all time? Is it Ryan Leaf, Tony Mandarich, Tim Couch, Jamarcus Russell, or someone else? You can go to 957thegame.com to vote.
Okay, so we're going with greatest draft bust of all time. Is there anyone who would like to begin? We could do ladies first if you're ready, or if you'd like someone else to go, I don't mind.
I'm good. I got to stay local. I'm going with Jamarcus Russell on this. 2007.
J-Rock.
Yeah. We got the purple drink. Three seasons, he threw for 18 touchdowns, 23 interceptions. You look at the draft class there, they missed out on, Patrick Willis, Marshawn Lynch, Adrian Peterson, Calvin Johnson. So many good players in that draft. And the other thing, it led into the Carson Palmer trade. So leading to that trade, that really set back the Raiders for years.
Not bad. Not bad. Old Jamarcus Russell. Biggest draft bust in NFL history for Anna. Dibs, you look hot with your answer. Why don't you go ahead?
I was going to say Jamarcus Russell as well, so I will. I won't change just because I'm following Anna. The fact that the Raiders were in a position to take a big step up and the whole thing that took place with Al Davis and the overhead projector and the firing of Lane Kiffin and the famous quote of, "We can win with Jamarcus. Get over it." That whole overhead projector press conference with Jamarcus Russell at the center of it, I think adds to the allure. The purple drank, of course. I think he's the biggest bust of all time.
Okay, that's two for old J-Rock. Lo Neal.
Jamarcus Russell, at least last 3 years, had some starts. Shoot, you look at the kid out of San Diego and you look at Ryan Leaf. I got to say, Manning, Leaf, it's got to be Leaf by far. Leaf, he was a total bomb. Never really even touched the field. This guy was it's got to be Leaf.
So it's quarterbacks, you fancy. Yeah. Ryan Leaf, 25 career games. Ooh, 25 career games is the number two pick. Jamarcus Russell, 31 career games. Boom. I'm sorry, you're all wrong. The answer to the question of who the greatest draft bust in NFL history is, wide receiver Charles Rogers from Michigan State University. Y'all remember Charles Rogers, don't you? Number two overall pick to Matt Millen in the Detroit Lions in 2003. 15
wow.
games. 15 games he appeared in his career. 15 games. Now, let me put something in perspective for you. Myles Garrett, last night's number one pick, is going to sign a deal that's going to be about 4 years for $30.5 million. That's what's going to be slotted to number one. 4 years, $30.5 million. With $20 million guaranteed. 14 years ago, when Charles Rogers was drafted number two overall, 14 years ago, 6 years, $39.5 million with $14 million guaranteed. Charles Rogers appeared in 15 games and as a wide receiver caught 36 passes for his career.
Wow.
That is the greatest bust in draft history. 888-957-9570 if you want to weigh in. 888-957-9570. Good Lord, this conversation could go on forever. There are some epic draft bust. Who else was on the list? Tony Mandarich?
Correct.
God, he was billed as a guy who couldn't miss.
And Tim Couch.
Couch.
He first overall, right? Tim Couch?
He was.
Out of Kentucky?
He was a bit diminutive in size, was he not?
Yes.
I'm not sure if that, if memory strikes, he strikes me as a guy who wasn't exactly very big. Going to Cleveland, I can't see how something like that would work out.
I think that was one of those kind of Alex Smith type number one overalls where you just didn't know who you could take. You took a quarterback, and so they ended up with Couch.
Damn, I'm being told he was 6'4", 220. My apologies. How the hell did he fail?
You know, another guy that people don't talk about as much that friggin' got more, probably more pub than Tony Mandarich, was more than all these guys you talked about that I thought was a bust, is Brian Bosworth. The Boz had commercials. He was the most polarizing college figure, I think, of our generation.
He was awesome. In college, he was awesome.
Oh, my God.
Bo destroyed him and ruined his career. Brilliant. But still, Bosworth was awesome.
Hell yeah, he was.
Larger than life at Oklahoma there. Huh. He had a great biography I remember reading when I was younger. So be it. Up on the screen right now from last night's draft, and we're going to jump back into Raider and Niner coverage in about 7 minutes at the top of the hour. But last night's draft, as it pertains to the Raiders, the rival Kansas City Chiefs were sitting at pick number 27. We talked about it yesterday. What if the Chiefs called the Raiders at 24 looking to trade up? Houston, after all, was interested in a quarterback. Remember when I floated that theory? Both went out and got quarterbacks. They just went surging a lot further than anyone had anticipated. Kansas City traded from 27 to 10, 27 to 10, in order to acquire Patrick Holmes, quarterback, Texas Tech, in exchange for the picks with Buffalo. So Buffalo moves back to 27. Kansas City comes up to 10. Kansas City also had to give up next year's number one and this year's number three. Personally, I think Buffalo didn't get enough out of that. When you see what the Niners got from the Bears for moving back one spot, I think 17 spots in that situation should have netted a bigger return, but so be it. What's Kansas City thinking? You're this good. You're so close. And you go out and get a quarterback low?
They're not happy with Alex. So it goes to show you that everyone's, you know, the Niner fans say, hey, Alex is the man. He's a good piece. He is a quarterback. You have to put him in a team with an elite, elite defense for them to win. But in the biggest moments, especially in the playoffs, Alex just doesn't seem to come up short every single time. So it goes to show you that Andy Reid and this organization is thinking, we do not have our future and our franchise quarterback in Alex Smith. And that's why that they were willing to jump up. Shoot, Joe, what, 10, 12 spots?
17.
I'm sorry, 17 spots. Have fun, Alex Smith. Because you know you're on your way out.
Well, Alex Smith is the epitome of nice guys finish last.
Great guy.
Because that's exactly what he is. He's a nice guy who was replaced by Colin Kaepernick. He's a nice guy who's going to be replaced by Patrick Holmes. He's had a nice career. It hasn't been a bad career. It hasn't been a great career. It's been a nice career. But a nice career maxes out at the playoffs. A nice career doesn't get you through a championship game. It doesn't get you into or through the Super Bowl. A nice career maxes out at the playoffs. This is Andy Reid doing what he did to Donovan McNabb, drafting Kevin Cobb in the second round. Although this time when you move up this far, you sure as hell better be right. And Mahomes played in the air raid system at Texas Tech. Now, the kid's got a huge arm, but remember this. The air raid system, the genesis of it, the entire reason it exists is that it's a system created to make quarterbacks look better than they are. Average quarterbacks look better than they are. How many Texas Tech quarterbacks have made it in the National Football League? I'll wait. Find me one that's had a lot of success. This is a bold move for Andy Reid and the Kansas City Chiefs.
And obviously they love the player, and Andy Reid feels like he's the guy who can coach him up and make him a good enough quarterback to help him either this year or next year. Alex Smith, he had to go through this with Colin Kaepernick, where Kaepernick was anointed, and he replaced Alex Smith, and then Smith ultimately goes to Kansas City. I think he's going to handle his business just fine, and he'll keep Patrick Mahomes at bay as long as he can. If he can get back to the playoffs and maybe make a deep run, Mahomes will have to sit and watch.
The Texans made a similar move coming up from 25 after the Chiefs grabbed Mahomes. They flew up from 25 to 12 with Cleveland in order to get Deshaun Watson. What would you rather be? Who would you rather be? Houston and what they gave up to get Watson, or Kansas City and what they gave up to get Mahomes?
I'd rather be Houston, because here's what Houston. Houston has one of the best defenses in football. They already have the receivers. They have some things in place. They can still run the stretch offense and do some stretch things, and now you have a kid in Watson that can get on the corner and give defensives nightmares and give them headaches because now they have to think about containment and also coverage on the back end. This is a good move by the Houston Texans, especially with this defense that they have, Joe.
Half the text line's telling me I'm saying Patrick Holmes. I'm saying Patrick Mahomes. Mahomes. I bet like 9 of his overs this year. I'm well aware of the name. Patrick Mahomes. Mahomes. Is that okay to everyone out there?
Mahomes, as I'm saying, Mahomes, Joe, came out of the same type of system as our guy Jared Goff did. It's like you said, a pass happy, easy for the quarterbacks. So it's going to be interesting to see how that works out.
From the 408, better career, McNabb or Smith? Good debate topic. No, it's not. McNabb had a far better career than Alex Smith. What did Alex Smith ever do? Process that. I know some people like him because he played for the Niners, but what did he ever do at any point ever? He had a nice playoff game against the Saints under Harbaugh. It was a good game. What else? Anything else? McNabb went to a Super Bowl and 5 NFC championship games. 5. Now, he lost 4 of them, but still went to 5. Alex Smith, he's got how much in Kansas City right now? What's he doing? Nothing. It's always been the same thing. It's average Alex. He doesn't want to take shots on the field. He's going to manage the game, and he's going to manage you into and then promptly out of the playoffs. That's what he does. This is why you get married to guys like this, and you hope you can build enough around him to get it done, but you're not going to win Super Bowls with guys like this. You got to take risks. You need a little gunslinger, and Alex Smith has absolutely none of that in his system. It's now time for the 4K a Day National Cash Contest. Text the code word PEANUT, as in Peanut Tillman, to 72881 before 15 past the hour for your chance to win $1,000. Be listening every day at 9 a.m., 11 a.m., 1 p.m., and 3 p.m. for your chance to win $1,000. Text message and data rates may apply. Draft coverage, the Niners, the Raiders, and a visit with Marcus Thompson. All coming up next. Joe Lo and Dibs, back in a flash, 95.7 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.